Can you believe that this year, now it's April, I saved already $23,000 in flights. So I got, for example, Asia, I did a trip, 7 different countries, and it cost me less than $400. All the trips in business class, more than like 40 hours in the air. South of France, it was summer and cleaning boats at 40 degrees under the sun, just like the inox of the rails, just like putting some chemicals in there with gloves.
So what are the roads? What are the things you do as well?
Actually, it just took off crazily. Like, I started with 300 followers, which was basically my mom, my friends, like my cousin, and then it turned into 70,000 followers, 70, in 6 months, all organic.
And what were you selling, like courses specifically, or one-on-one coaching?
I believe in it's possible to get a multi-million-dollar company with less than 10 people. Like, there's this joke that says that the next $1 billion company is going to be owned by one person.
Yes,
both. That's possible, you know? That's one of my strategies to get the 11 citizenships that I told you about.
What do you do exactly with the taxes? Are you saying that we can pay zero tax? All right, we're here with another special episode with a special guest. Miguel, coming now, you're traveling, like, you've been coming for 3 days now so far?
Yeah. This is a short visit here. Wow. But, yeah.
All the way from?
From Japan.
Japan.
Yeah, I'm flying Japan to fly.
That's amazing. Now, for the audience that are listening here, who is Miguel?
Miguel, somebody who likes challenges, you know, who likes this idea of finding this loophole, you know, finding this shortcut, finding this different way of approaching something. And it's something that it started like this from a very young age. I was already 5 and I remember my parents telling me, the teachers are asking why your kid is trying to do this thing differently from the other kids. You know, it seems like from a very young age, I wanted these things. And then now, as an adult, it translates into this pursuit of geographic freedom, you know, this desire of wanting to have options. And then first solving the challenges myself to then be able to provide it to other people. So it comes in terms of collecting residencies or maybe this business class flight, for example, that I was telling you from Japan to Dubai, instead of paying $5,000, $6,000, getting it for $68.
What? $68?
Yes.
No way. I heard of like agencies that do it like half of the price.
I know.
But you're saying $68, that's a total business thing.
Can you believe that this year, now it's April, and I saved already $23,000 in flights. So I got, for example, Asia, I did a trip, 7 different countries, and it cost me less than $400. All the trips in business class, more than like 40 hours in the air.
And what airline was that?
Look, I've flown with Singapore Airlines, I've flown with KLM, I've flown with EVA Air as well, which is a Taiwanese one.
Okay.
One of the best ones there. All of them, like, the cost is less than $100. And you can do that with the American credit cards that we're going to be talking about today. We can cover that.
Interesting.
But it's this idea of the points, the miles, you know, you spend some expenses that you have. And then we're going to talk about it, about the
so where are the cards? What are the things you do as well?
Residencies. It's something that I also collect because I believe in, you know, having options. Let's say there's a lockdown or who knows in the future if a country that now is like buying Bitcoin at $100. You know, it then becomes, boom, $100,000 in the future. We don't know. We don't know in 10 years. We don't know in 20 years where the world's going to be. So why not being a resident, especially if it's easy now to get it? Before, Panama was very easy. Now it's a bit harder. Paraguay was extremely easy. Now it's also a bit harder. You know, passports before, citizenships. You could get the Caribbean ones for $125. One day, it's $250.
Double.
History is telling us that it's getting more and more difficult. So I want to seize these opportunities right now.
Interesting.
You know, and collect as many as I can.
Oh, I'm curious now. When you're playing it as a video game, it's like,
yes. These,
how many passports do you have?
I have a few. It's something that
keep it private.
I like keep it private. I'm happy to share with you after when we have.
Can you share the numbers? But anyway, no.
I'm gonna tell you something that we're gonna also expand it in this podcast. By the next 6 years, to 2031, I'm going to have 11 citizenships if everything goes as planned.
Yes. 11 citizenships. Yes. So you not only have plan A, but plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E.
There you go. All the way.
Just going 11.
Yes, because you can get, for example, 5 for naturalization. So basically spending enough time in a country. Then you can get, for example, 3 if you have 3 children. With each one, you can get by birth tourism, another one. So 5 plus 3, it's 8, and then you can have a few for investment. That's another option. And there are different ways you can get them, by descent, so on and so forth. So you stack them.
I've also heard that you also focus on taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do exactly with the taxes? Are you saying that we can pay zero tax?
Yeah, and I mean you're in a good place, you know, the country, the UAE.
I mean, for me, I feel like in the country, in the UAE especially, but let's say if you were talking about countries where you're obliged to pay tax no matter where you are.
Yeah, that United States.
Is the one. Exactly. Yeah.
In that case, it's more tax optimization. We are not talking about 0%, flat 0%, unless you start moving to Puerto Rico or doing these things. So there's going to be some countries that it's not possible. Somebody tells me, look, I want to live in the Netherlands for 11 months a year and not pay taxes. I'm going to say, you're delusional, you know, because there are things that you cannot do legally, right? But however, we can create setups, especially with people that are mobile. Let's say people that can live less than 6 months in any country. They can set up tax residency in a territorial tax country like Panama, like Paraguay, and they can legally pay 0% taxes. That's something that I've been leveraging since 2020, because I had this pain, you know, in Spain, actually. Spain without S is pain, and it's actually a pain, the tax hell that they charge you there, close to 50% in taxes.
50%?
Yes, 50.
So why would you want to become an entrepreneur if you're paying 50%?
Correct. And you can you believe that when you want to start this, it's called autónomo. It's the translation, it's freelancer. So when you want to become a freelancer, you need to pay to become one, but you are providing value to the country, but still you need to pay kind of your rent to be a freelancer there, plus taxes, plus social security, plus. When I saw that, the revenue I made that year, I talked to my accountant, I sit with her, and she says, look, from this is what you need to pay to the government. I look at the final number, it's like, I'm assuming all this risk. I need to pay all the employees. I'm putting the ads, I'm putting all the effort, the rent, the food, everything. And I was making less than, you know, 10,000 euros at the time. And that first year, I made multiple six figures. And final number, it was less than 10,000 euros. I said, that's not a way to live. There must be a better way. And I searched. And how do rich people keep their wealth? And a word appeared.
Okay.
Tax havens. It's like, what's a tax haven? Let me start finding out. And there are ways legally to pay fewer taxes. So that's why I started going down that rabbit hole, and the rest is history.
Interesting. So it's basically through that pain and that struggle that you're facing, you're like, I need to find a way out.
If it was 9%, 10%, probably I would have stayed happily. I mean, Spain is a good place to live. But when it's 50, it's different.
I think this is the thing, the game that comes with trying to be rich. You got to be able to play the game of the rich, which is to understand, to leverage everything that you have in your disposal. So if you can't do it in one country, you have to leverage whatever you have. You have resources, you have accountants, you have tax, you know, experts that can guide you. You know, this is not the best place to set up your business, but maybe if you set it up there, you'll save a lot of money.
And there are so many countries, you know, so many combinations. It's a chess game.
But if you tell me now, Miguel, have you ever worked 9-to-5 job?
Yes, I did. Can you believe my first jobs were selling running shoes?
What?
Selling running shoes.
Running shoes?
Yeah. I was selling trail running shoes.
Okay.
On a store, like 9-to-5, to pay basically the rent. And during my time off, when I finished that, I went to the gym. And after that, I built my online business. But I was selling running shoes. I worked as a chef as well. In a restaurant in Mallorca.
Good cook as well.
Like I started as a cook and went all my way up until I was cooking like some nice meals in a creative kitchen, you know, with this one with foams and, you know, all these freezing ingredients and all that stuff, like pretty creative. And then I also cleaned boats. Actually, I was the one under the sun. I remember in Antibes in France, the Côte d'Azur, the south of France, and it was summer and cleaning boats at 40 degrees under the sun, just like the inox of the rails, just like putting some chemicals in there with gloves up till here, you know, and just like cleaning, like 8 hours under the sun every day. So yeah, I've done these jobs before.
So what was the first business that you ever done?
It was online courses about nutrition.
Nutrition.
That's my background. Yeah, I studied nutrition at university.
Okay.
So yeah, with that knowledge, I thought I could provide a lot of value.
And you were producing six figures with that business first.
Actually, it just took off crazily. Like, I started with 300 followers, which was basically my mom, my friends, like my cousin. And then it turned into 70,000 followers, 70, in 6 months, all organic.
Wow.
It just took off like that. When people started hearing this advice from somebody who started in university, and I was sharing some scientific studies, this something that it was not the typical vlogger type of content about, don't eat this food, da, da, da. It was deeper than that.
Hmm.
It attracted a lot of...
What were you selling? Like courses specifically or one-on-one coaching?
First one-on-one. Hmm. Yeah. I started with one-on-ones. I think it was like 10 euros an hour, then 12, 15 euros an hour.
So you started doing the humble beginnings, as they say.
Yeah.
And how do you go about saying, like, I'm sure you don't do nutrition anymore.
No, I don't. No.
How did you go about saying now I'm confident enough to start something totally different and ignore this business?
That's a good question. The thing is, when I started living it myself, this 0% tax lifestyle and everything, I did it 4 years before I offered it to anybody.
Hmm.
You know, first it was like a friend giving some advice, some tips. But then one friend became two, became five, became 10, became 20. It's like, wait, I gotta turn this into a business. You know, I have to professionalize this. I have to hire the proper lawyers. I have to build a team. I need to client support, all of these things. Then I started with some conferences in Tulum, in Mexico. And these conferences attracted 12 people, 15 people, like, every week. And they wanted to hear, wow, how can I pay 0% taxes legally? How can I collect residencies? How can I collect passports? Wow. You know, open the mind. And then, eventually that turned into, I guess,
So would you say most of your clients are coming as a network or as a more so they're coming from your social media?
Now it's social media. It started just like word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Me literally talking to people. I had no network about this topic. So I started with few group of entrepreneurs, business owners in Tulum, coming to the rooftop of the place I was renting. And there's a free way for me to offer value.
But how do you convince a person to invest so much money, for example, in the? I know passports don't cost like what you're selling as a course. You're selling a passport that's costing six figures.
Yeah, correct.
You know, how do you convince an entrepreneur that they're gonna trust you to pay that much money for you to do the job compared to organizations or companies of mass scale?
Yeah. Good question. I would say it starts with the small things. So sometimes they start with a smaller service and then it's on the way up. The other reason is because a friend that already did something like that already invested six figures in us and then we got the job done fast and as we promised. So then the other person comes referred. That's a big one. And I would say that now the third reason is because people already come educated, you know, and now personal brands, I think, have a very important space in the niche.
Trust.
Trust. Yeah. And knowing that there's the reputation, you know, that there's this accountability.
Mm.
Like, I'm putting my face out there, you know, and I want to keep this business for decades.
For sure.
So I know that I need to do things properly. And if something I don't do as expected, I need to make it right for the person, you know. So in some way, I need to find a way to solve it. Sometimes very creatively, it's like we have to do Aikido, some type of chess there, but you know.
How do you stand out?
I would say through my biggest advantage here is that I'm doing what I'm offering. I think that's how I stand out. Because not many people that offer residencies have 5, 6, 7 residencies or have this goal of 11 citizenships or have 40 bank accounts just because I want to try them all. To then be able to offer it to the clients. Not because I need them. Just because it's fun. It's challenging, you know?
Okay.
And then three, I want to experience it first to then know all the ins and outs. And then, voila. You know, people's like, oh, he did it. Then I trust it.
I don't know if you heard those two popular people that I know. I'm not sure if you do. Nomad Capitalist and Wealthy Expat.
Yes.
Have you heard about them?
Both.
Yes.
Yes.
I feel like they're in the same realm that you are, where they offer passports, they talk about tax, they talk about certain situation. This is a thing. Do you think that more people are coming into this play or this industry, or has there always been this industry?
There was, but now the thing is they're more personal brands in this industry. Before, it was more big names, Henley & Partners, and, you know, this global corporation that has offices and this, but it's more impersonal. It's a brand.
Yes.
Now, for example, Andrew from Nomad Capitalist, it's infusing some personality in the way he talks about this citizenship residency, is the YouTube series that he's doing. Raphael from Wealthy Expat is doing another, you know, type of personality content, the way he shares about that citizenship. And I'm another one.
You're having your own style as well.
Completely, completely. I talk places like Armenia, or talk about Paraguay before they even talked about it. Or, for example, the US credit cards for the travel hacking that I was mentioning, you know, that, for example, they don't touch on the channel. So each one of us, and they talk about things that I don't talk about because they invested in that residency or in that citizenship that I don't have. You know?
Interesting.
So we all, I think, are complementary. We give people different windows to look through. Yeah. And some person is going to resonate more with Andrew, with Raphael, with me, with many others that are in this industry.
Do you think most of the people that buy from you buy it because they feel they want to get connected with you?
Yeah.
More so than they want the service?
Yeah. I think it plays a big role, yeah. They want to get closer. They want to come to the meetups that we have around the world. The summits, the retreats in different places. Sometimes it's in super yacht. Sometimes it's in a castle. Sometimes we rented a castle in Georgia, for example. That was a really nice event. Then the super yacht that we are going to do in next year from Japan to Bali. So, you know, cruising, all that. So the experiences, they want to be part of this, the first class life that we call it.
Wonderful.
Not just the product, the passport of citizenship of Portugal or this.
So now you managing this company, I'm sure this is a company, not your only personal brand. How many people work under you so far?
So we have people that are like the salary, that they are monthly there. So they run, for example, content, they run, let's say, executive assistant, the tech part, all of that, right? These people may be like 12 right now, yeah? And then we have people that are paid on commission or results.
Mm.
So for example, sales team. Very easy to understand. And then we have partners and associates in different countries. So let's say we have a law firm that we work with here in Dubai, the one in Paraguay, the one in Armenia, the one in XYZ countries, right? This one is like close to 35 at this point. Yeah.
So this is what you're doing right now. You're leveraging and delegating.
Yeah.
Which a lot of entrepreneurs sadly don't. Mm-hmm. They think it's a one-man show.
Yeah.
Do you think with the future, now that AI is coming in, we will reduce the amount of people happening there and just rely fully on AI doing everything?
I'm so glad that you bring this up to the conversation. I didn't know we were going to go this path, but I love it. Can you believe that now some of our calls are taken by AI?
No way.
Like, I will show you after. Like, you're going to hear. You can even call. Like, we can call because it's a number that's always available. You can talk to that AI. And it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing the point that we are today. Like, AI, it's so intelligent. It's spooky.
And is it so authentic to the point that I feel like it's a human talking to me?
It sounds like. Like, the way it talks, you can still feel a bit the robot thing, but give it 6 months. Give it 6 months, 8 months.
AI is going so fast.
I know. And can you imagine that instead of having a large sales team with people from different time zones to cover the 24 hours and the weekends and all of these puzzle you need to put in together, you have a piece of code that literally can take even 100 calls at the same 6 p.m. Barcelona time.
And this is the most important part. You want to get the clients when they're warm, not when they're cold. Yes. Right at the moment. Imagine if someone just texts you, hey, I'm interested. Bam. I'm ready to call you, ready to get you as a lead and get you as a client. And then voila. He's warmed up. He's in right that moment. He's looking for that.
Yes. And in that moment, receives a call or is able to join a Zoom link where AI is, boom, solving the things they need and points in the right direction, shares the right link, boom, ready to go.
So when you're saying you're getting the clients, you're relying fully on AI right now and doing the lead qualification and lead?
Not fully yet, but we are towards that direction.
All right.
I believe it's possible to get a multi-million dollar company with less than 10 people. Like, there's this joke that says that the next $1 billion company is going to be owned by one person.
And automated by a lot of AI.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's where we're going. And we embrace it because it's just superior in many ways. and we want humans to focus on things that AI is still not there. But if humans can be supercharged with AI, any day of the week.
So I would assume that you're right now a seven-figure business entrepreneur.
Yeah. Could be, yeah.
Or even higher. I don't even know. But I would assume. What was the biggest sacrifice you had to make to reach where you reach today?
That's a good question, because, you know, when you love the game, you just feel it's part of the game. You know, would you call that it sacrifice, for example, when you want gains in the gym and you feel the pain in your muscles? Is it a sacrifice that you're not living a pain-free life?
But more so, you're sacrificing a period of pleasure for a period of gain of muscles.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean.
But what if you find the pleasure in the process? You know, it's similar to dancing. I love dancing salsa, for example.
Okay.
And you don't want the song to end. You just want the song to keep playing.
I feel like you're saying you're salsa, you're a chef, you're a business entrepreneur. I think you're a target for a lot of women. Basically, they'll just like, they want to guess you where you're. You're making us all look like so bad. You're like, you guys, you got to step up your game. You got to be a chef. You got to be a dancer. You got to be a business entrepreneur.
Y lo tienes que decir en español y lo tienes que decir en
Spanish. I lost the game right there. Oh my God.
But you know, it's enjoying the process.
Interesting.
I think that it comes from being an athlete very, very young. For example, I go to the Catalan team of basketball. You know, like, in the region, Catalonia is a region of Spain. And, you know, it's 12 years playing basketball, getting higher, higher, higher. And you see that things get tougher. Mm. You know, your opponents are much better. There's good competition. Then I transition from that into other sports like running, which has been my go-to for like 13 years now.
Wow.
And I'm just like running as fast as I can. Like sometimes I've different races, but for example, the mile in 4:46. People that know running will know what's this speed, or like a 5K in 16:50.
Mm.
So that's, to get to that point, you need to run a lot, feel a lot of pain in your legs.
You also need to lose a lot of weight. My sister, she does running marathons.
Yeah.
Like she does it at competitions, multi-competitions. Yeah. She's, in terms of the ladies section, she's always the first or the second tier.
Wow.
But she had to lose a lot of weight to, you know, just be able to, you know, run faster, speed up faster.
Yeah.
I think it's challenging on your body.
But maybe you can ask her, you know, how does she feel when she goes through hard trainings? You know, I don't know.
She loves it. She loves it. I'm like telling you, yeah, she loves it. Otherwise, she wouldn't do it.
Then it's the same,
yeah.
You know? And would you tell, for her, is it a sacrifice that she has to? I just rephrase it in my mind. I get to. I don't have to. I get to use my legs. Mm. I'm so fortunate I have them. Other people don't. And I'm so fortunate to get to run and train and feel this pain. Yeah, it's part of the process to then become better, become faster, become more efficient. So is it a sacrifice? The same with business.
Mm.
You know, I think that when you are into sports, and especially competitive sports, you realize that there are many similarities with business. So if you tell me, what are the sacrifices? I can't think of a sacrifice, actually. Just a path that I chose, and that's it. Just like, I try to enjoy it as much as I can.
Wonderful.
As part of the process, yeah.
That's a nice perspective to look at it, and that just having pain does not mean that you're sacrificing something. Mm. Sometimes you enjoy through that pain.
Yeah, it's part of the process. That's it. It's very stoic, you know. You don't even think there's another way. No, it's just the way, so you just push through it. And you turn it into an infinite game. I really like this concept from Simon Sinek that says that it's not about achieving a goal, just a consecution of milestones of a game that the goal is to perpetuate it as much as you can.
Mm.
So yeah, infinite game.
Let's talk about credit card.
Yeah, it's cheap flights. Huh?
Are credit cards bad or good?
The UAE?
UAE. Let's talk about UAE credit cards. Yes.
They're okay. They're not bad. They're just limited in the range of airlines and transfers that you can do with the points that you earn.
Because, for example, I got like Emirates. I got the Skyward, yes. From Emirates NBD.
Yes.
I got the UBIMR. I don't know if you know about that. UBIMR Infinite Card.
Okay.
Where you spend something in Dubai Mall, you get 6.5% cash back. So 6.5 to 7.9 cashback.
Yeah.
Skywards, I think you get 1.5 points for every $1 USD. Yeah.
When I'm hitting the best redemptions, I'm getting 42% cashback. 42.
42?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's through American credit card?
Yes, yes, yes. And I run Excels like with the numbers to show people, and it is recorded and it's available on YouTube. So it's not like I'm pulling this number out of thin air.
So can a non-US citizen get credit cards?
They will go
this guy, huh?
No, 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 no. Not come to me. I'm not a US citizen.
All right. All right. That's what I've said. That makes sense.
That's what it is. I'm not a US citizen. Yeah, I was born, you know, with a Spanish citizenship. So yeah, I've never got a green card. I never had a social security number. I never had a US passport. And I still get access to all of these credit cards without the bad side, which is the tax liability that comes with having the social, or having in this case your citizenship, that you have to pay taxes with worldwide income, right? Whatever you are. So I get the best perks without the bad part.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. What would you say, what would you say is the best credit card right now in the entire world right now?
Oof. It's a tricky one. I would say multiple. The same way, if you ask me the same question with citizenships, what's the best citizenship in the world? I'm going to answer similarly. First, depending on what's your current spending. So if you're spending in ads, you want to look at the American Express Business Gold, for example, in the United States, because it gives you the highest multiplier of points per dollar spent.
American Express?
Business Gold.
American Express.
American Express Business Gold card. Right. Yeah, that one is the best one for ads right now.
As it's
ads.
You mean like ads?
Facebook ad.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Meta, Instagram, all of this, because it gives you 4 points for every dollar. Right?
4 points of what is it?
4 points, four American Express points.
Okay.
Which then can be transferred to the airlines. So how it works is the airlines have tickets that are sold in exchange for cash, and some other ones that they offer to American Express, to Chase, to different banks, Capital One, right? For their clients to be able to redeem them. And usually the redemptions are terrible, are awful, because people use the Chase portal, the Amex portal, and then the cent per point, like the value of each one of these points, it's ridiculous. It's so low. But when you learn about travel hacking, you know that you can transfer it through other creative routes and get the points to multiply and get you 42% cashback.
I'm just excited, you know, just excited listening to all this. It's like feeling it.
Yeah.
You know, you're seeing the... Well, you know, they say the well of youth is like you're finding is something, a hidden treasure that most people don't even know about. So it's just exciting to know about this thing.
Especially because you have expenses.
Like, you have expenses.
You don't need to spend more. Mm-hmm. You just channel the same expenses that you have
and get rewards.
Instead of this plastic or this metal, you use this one here. And you get rewarded instead of 6.5 or 1.2 or whatever, 42%, 36% cashback.
Interesting.
It is ridiculous, yeah.
What about passports?
Yeah.
You said they would give me numerous options of what are the best passports to acquire as a second passport.
I mean, look, you and I are very fortunate. We're very fortunate because we have the best passports in the world. You know, from 196 countries, we have the top three, you and I. You know, so we are very fortunate because I'm sure you've traveled, you know, around the world. And how many visas... I was going to say, how many visas have you applied in your life?
Barely to count, except in the United States. The only place I applied so far is the United States.
Exactly. Yeah. But besides that?
Not really. I don't have to apply.
Yeah. Same here. I've never applied for a visa, you know? And I've visited, now Japan was my country number 40.
Wow.
Yeah. Never applied for a visa in my life. So we are very fortunate. But there's people that are not as fortunate. They are living or being born in a country that... It's terrible, the visa-free options they have. So I always say, don't go for one passport. I mean, ideally, you get an European one, which is much more attainable, for example, than the UAE, which is almost impossible. And it gives you really good options. Portugal, for example, Spain, great options, right? But the best combination is three complementary passports.
Mm.
What do I mean by that? Imagine a passport that opens doors to the Schengen area. So an EU passport could be Portugal. Now you can access it with an investment of $500,000. And in 5 years, you can become Portuguese. Then another one could be Latin America. So some country that you like could be Mexico, which you can obtain through naturalization and you can become Mexican, or you can have a kid and very soon become Mexican as well.
Okay.
You can choose South America. Maybe you want to go to Paraguay and after 5 years, try to get Paraguayan citizenship, right? We have other options in Chile with birth tourism as well. Brazil, same thing. Argentina, right away, the child is born Argentinian, and then the parents can already apply for naturalization.
Okay, so you mean someone who has their couples, they have a pregnancy,
yeah.
And go there and deliver the baby there.
Exactly.
And get the citizenship.
Born in Argentinian soil, and boom, they can become citizens.
So not only their kid, but also the parents also become
citizens. Both. That's possible, you know? That's one of my strategies to get the 11 citizenships that I told you about. It's to have three children, you know, three kids, three different citizenships. You know, for example, Costa Rica is a beautiful country that if you want to naturalize, it's a long process.
So how are you going to amortize that? That's the question. That's the hard question. Oh, wait, huh? You got to have three women to pregnant to say,
I mean, to go faster or get twins, to get twins, you know?
Okay, twins,
two pregnancies, one and two, and there you go, three.
Three, yeah.
That would be an option. But that's the thing. You can get one from South America or Latin America, a country that you like. The good thing is when you get the passport from South America, usually, let's say Paraguay, opens doors to many South American countries.
Mm.
When you get Costa Rica, it opens to Central American countries, right? So you get a passport that opens a region, like Spain or Portugal. They open the whole Schengen area, which is 27 countries. You know, it's changing, 26, 27, 28, but a lot of countries. Then if you want, you know, another region, you do the same. So I always say, choose three that allow you to live and visit visa-free the countries that you care about. Let's say you want to go to Russia and China. Spain is not the best passport. They only allow me 16 days in Russia, visa-free.
Mm.
But if I get Armenian, then I can get much, much more.
Okay.
You know, so just consider where you want to be and choose three complementary ones.
Well, what about the easiest passport to obtain right now?
Mm-hmm.
What would that be?
Having a child is easy or not? What do you say?
Let's say not with the child, but more so with the payment.
Payment, yes. Caribbean, you can just pay $250. And
how long will that take?
6 months.
6 months I don't have.
Yeah.
Do I have to stay there?
No, you don't even need to put food there. Like you can do this from the UAE, and they are going to ship you the passport. You're going to receive it here in your office.
So the process is only paying?
Yeah, pay and wait. That's it. That's possible in the Caribbean. In Turkey, you can do it through bonds or through real estate. So you can put money in bonds from...
And how much would you have to spend in the trip?
That would be $500,000.
Half a million.
Yeah, $500,000 US dollars or $400,000 in property. But again, this is going to become obsolete, like this number. Really? So I would just tell people because we had recorded this before, it was $250,000. Now it's $400,000. For example, Greece, to get permanent residence, it was as well $250,000. Now it's $400,000. So... history just tells us that things get more expensive.
Yeah, everything is just increasing in price.
That's true. And for example, Russians, they are banned from Caribbean. It's almost impossible to get Caribbean. It's almost impossible to get, for example, other residencies. Latvia, it's difficult. Greece is difficult. Spain, even, it's difficult to get residency. So what do they do? For Russians, they need to go through, for example, Turkey. They need to go to Vanuatu, which is a tiny island in the Pacific. And through that citizenship... then get, for example, Greece permanent residency or Latvia residency.
Oh, wow.
That
so opens citizenship, it opens another citizenship.
Yes. With that one, you can then apply to something else. But directly with the Russian, you're banned. So you need to find this workaround.
That's a clever way to go about it, yes, for sure. Let's talk about Dubai.
Yes.
Why do you think Dubai is popular among investors and entrepreneurs?
I think it has...
But it's not for somebody. I don't think it's that much popular in your area, though.
In
your field, like, do you still suggest to your clients about Dubai?
I was a resident here.
You were a resident, but
I had my Emirates ID, and we incorporated many clients here.
All right,
like Frisian companies got them Emirates ID, banking, even driving licenses. Yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah, we helped them with all of this, and I still think that it's great for people who want to live here, and want to enjoy, you know, all the benefits, all the opportunities. I think it's a land full of opportunities, the UAE.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that. And I also love the efficiency, the speed. Dubai understands the speed.
You look, bridges are being built every time, left or right. They're just building the roads, the infrastructure, the city. Everything's built quick.
Yes.
Very fast.
You've seen it.
Yeah.
How is it, the evolution?
I can't catch up. Right. Every time there's something new opening, something new happening, I just can't catch up.
You go on vacation, you come back, and there's a new building.
It's like something new thing. Yeah, new thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
New building, new rise, new project, new development. Yeah. Everything happens.
Yeah. For me, Dubai, it has a place, you know, like all the other countries. What's the best country, Mikael? For me, it's not one. That's why I don't think Dubai for me it's the only one, but none other country it's the only one. But I keep coming back here because I like the opportunities. I like, for example, the seasons when the weather is better, you know, November, December, January, February. I really enjoy it. And I like the opportunities to podcast like this. I filmed today, like this is the third podcast today. So it's like this happens in Dubai. This does not happen in Paraguay. This does not happen in Brazil. You know, it's much more difficult. Here, it's just, it happens.
Quick.
It's beautiful. It's quick, you know, and that's our most valuable asset, time. You know, I'm going to spend money to save time.
You only have 24 hours in a day.
There you go.
Yeah.
So here, the country understands this and the rulers understand this. Like, they make things efficient. They make things fast. They progress like this. And that's really good. That's why we bring people here as well. People that want to buy real estate, they also, you know, see this opportunity here. The place is expanding.
So you help them with the real estate as well?
We have the partners that help them. Mm. Yeah. Like many of the things that I talk about, like it's through our company, but it's not Mikel. Yeah, it's not me. Like the lawyer.
I'm in this business of field as well of helping people, because if you see my content, I haven't explained this much about, but it's more so about helping people set up business right here, their visa, their property. As a local myself, I feel like it can add value in terms of that perspective.
For sure.
Of course, I have other businesses that I do as well. You know, this is the thing that I really want to help the expats with.
Yeah.
Because they always are curious. They're curious about us as locals. And I can give them that experience of what it is to be a local and understand from a local perspective.
Just the fact of, just the language.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that you can speak local language here and I can't.
It's a leverage in a way.
There you go. The same way that Spanish goes a long way on a salsa, on a salsa.
There will always be collaboration. This is what I say about Dubai. Dubai is always a win-win situation.
Yeah.
Everyone here, if they work truly together, they're all going to win.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, what I have, some people tell me the looks. When I'm here, some people start talking to me in Arabic. It's like, no, I don't understand anything.
You look like that. But
they start,
I can make you wear also this Condor. You might be able to consider this an Arab.
Yes.
So, let's talk about what are the most common relocation mistakes that happen from your perspective.
Oh, yeah. One very clear. They go too fast. They're impatient.
Mm.
It's terrible when people are impatient and they jump into a country and they just go all in and then they realize it's not the place they wanted to be. And they wasted a lot of money and time and energy into setting up something that's like, and I'm going to close it down. You know, I'm just not going to be here or whatever.
Is that what happened to you?
Yeah, very similar. I thought I would be coming here more often, but then I wanted to get the Armenian citizenship, the Paraguayan citizenship, travel to Asia, this. And I was not fulfilling the requirement of the 6 months, you know? But again, for me, it was a different purpose because I wanted to go through the process to know how it was to then help clients. So now I can be much more valuable to them thanks to me having gone through the process, you know? So I'm very grateful that I went through this and I had the Emirates JV. And now I'm going through the route of the golden visa. So
you want a golden visa?
Yeah, so this time I don't have to come every 6 months.
All right, yeah. The golden visa will let you stay as much as you want outside of, for pretty much approximately more than a year you can stay.
Yeah, correct.
You can stay there. So I think there's multiple options you can do it through it. The ones that options that I know is being an investor, you deposit in a bank, or you can have the 2 million dirham deposit in a property, which I prefer because it can do with a capital appreciation. So your property increases in value. It doesn't stay fixed within a bank or something.
Yeah.
You get to live in it if you want to live as your vacation home, or you can rent it out. You still get generating income.
Correct.
So that's a good way to get a golden visa.
You can also get it as a content creator.
As a content creator, this is recently new. As a creator HQ, you can go there and apply. And also you can become a golden visa carrier by specific conditions like scientists, PhD holders, people who have a value to add. So basically, if you see the golden visa, it's everything about value being added to the country.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a person of value, there is a certain way, if you meet the criteria, you can have a golden visa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another challenge that now I'm getting into.
Okay. Interesting. And how would you say Dubai compares to other tax havens like Portugal and Panama?
Yeah, Panama, Paraguay come to mind. Even Costa Rica could be if people live there. There are many ways that you can create this. The good thing is Dubai, it's 90 days, you know.
Mm.
For example, Paraguay, Panama, it's a couple days every 2 years. that you need to be there. So that's the most flexible. The number two would come Cyprus. It's 60 days per year. And then Dubai, 90 days per year to have your tax residency here. So some people will not live 90 days here or will be limited because, I mean, pretty much if they want to spend 90 days, quality days here, it has to be between November and February. So it means that they will have like that window every year that they know they're going to be here. Mm. So if they want the freedom to be between November and February somewhere else, then it might be trickier for them to the 90 days a year and get all the advantages of being a tax resident here in the UAE. So that's why I would say that Paraguay or Panama would be better because allow you to be more free. You can keep your tax residency there without that much presence. Again, 1-2 days every year or every 2 years, some people report. And then you can even live in the UAE. Like I can still be here as a tourist, but still pay taxes there.
Mm.
But if 1 year I'm 85 days here, I don't have to worry.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
So how can people now reach out to you?
They can reach out social media. I would say that's the easiest. I would say look the free content if you love it.
How do you pronounce your social media?
Yes, First Class Citizen is the easiest way.
Okay.
Yeah. First Class Citizen. They can find all the content about passports, residency, all that, credit cards as well. And from there, just check the free content. If they hate it, don't pay. Because it's that times 10. If you love it, you will see when they pay. It's pretty straightforward. If they like the vibe, it's what I'm saying. You know, they can get the product, the citizenship, the residency, the credit card with multiple providers. It's about feeling, you know, if they have good feeling, good rapport, yes or no.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Miguel, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it. I think the audience learned so much just from here, listening to this. Just open their eyes to something new that they perhaps never even listened to before. So yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.